Come on in to the Miami Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Zach, and I'm joined by my co-host, you know, my boy West Coast So, you know, my boy Saeed.
There it is. You already know what time it is. We got a good day lined up. Good guests, great guests lined up. Our first West Coast recruit, and we got our boy North Fresh. It's going to be a good day today, guys.
It's going to be awesome. How you holding up?
Chilling, man. Chilling.
Saeed, let's
wait on this on the stimulus.
Hey, shit, me too, man. I be checking my shit every day, boy.
I check it every 3 or 4 hours.
Hey,
all right, let's start with this Twitter talk, okay?
Yeah.
The first topic is Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell.
I don't know how to put that. So, because you guys know I'm a big Jazz fan, and those are my guys.
Yeah. So obviously Donovan Mitchell was upset about what happened with Rudy Gobert when he was touching all the mics and then the coronavirus, and he was touching everybody else. So it was Bleacher Report, I believe, that reported it, that were saying that Donovan Mitchell doesn't see himself being able to repair that relationship.
Donovan came out today and said that they're working towards their new relationship as friends, and they're getting ready to go for whenever the season starts back up, or if it doesn't, they'll be ready to go for next year.
Now, so do you think, you're in Utah, you're a Jazz fan. Do you think Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert both remain with the Jazz?
Oh, yeah, because
when their contracts expire,
one of them's going to get a lifetime deal, and one of them's going to get a big extension. But we can't keep everyone. And Rudy Gobert, he's looking at, the Mavericks said they're looking at him in the offseason if they can get him. But I don't think that will happen because Justin Zanuck and all these other guys are trying to keep him on the team. And all these other guys, his teammates, want him around. He's a good teammate. Donovan's a good teammate.
Donovan is. I don't know, man. I don't know if they both stay. I feel like this is just me just throwing out, you know, me. I just be wild. I think Donovan, man, he might want out, bro. I think Rudy Gobert obviously is very sorry. He's apologized for what he did and everything. He realizes it's kind of fucked up. But I don't know, man. I don't know if Donovan stays.
Like, everyone loves Donovan here in the city. Everyone.
It's, and I believe it, but, I mean, you know Miami be calling, baby. Come down to Miami. 305, baby.
Yeah, I mean, my take is the fact, I think it was a good thing of what happened as far as Gobert testing positive, because that really kind of shocked people, man.
It
shocked people. I mean, it shocked me. It was like, man, this is serious, you know?
Yeah, that's when I realized, oh shit, rich people getting it too. Like,
yeah, because you saw like they ran, like the one of the trainers ran and like stopped the game from happening. And that, you know, they postponed the season the next day, so it was a good thing what happened because it showed people, hey man, this is serious, you know?
Yeah, like stop joking around, like, you know, playing around. Yeah, no. I mean, obviously it sucks that it happened. It sucks people got it because, you know, Cat just lost his mom today. Like,
yeah.
So it's very serious. But at the time, yeah, people were just, and when he did that, he was like, oh, it's not that serious, joking around.
Yeah. And but now, everyone was like that.
That's true. A lot of people were, for sure.
And
oh, from coronavirus?
Yeah.
Yeah. Carl Anthony Towns.
Complications from the coronavirus, what they say. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Very sad. Very sad. All right. Your next topic, ESPN.
Oh, they released their top.
ESPN is terrible. Let me say that.
They released their top 10, right?
Their top 10.
Preseason college football rankings.
I have it up. Now, I'll, at number 10, they had Georgia, UGA, the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, they had the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Lame.
At 8, they had the Fighting Jimbos of Texas A&M.
Yeah, yeah.
Number 7, they had Texas.
Okay.
And number 6, they had Wisconsin. 5, mm-hmm. Penn State. 4, they had Bama. 3, Oklahoma. Sooners, 2, 1 or 2 are obvious. 1 is Clemson, and 2 is Ohio State.
Not our team. Yeah, no, we not gonna be five. Maybe in the ACC. Nah, in ACC, I'd say we're number one. The Coastal. And I don't know, maybe number three in the ACC. But
how do you feel about the list?
So the list. I mean, so a lot of people. This is what I honestly believe. You make these preseason list to kind of. We have nothing to talk about, right? So you give us something to talk about. And it's a preseason. Doesn't really matter. Now, when Keep It Candulated, because I mean, I believe they're going to release more, you know, get that top 25 out. I would be disrespected if we're not in the top 25, especially with De'Aaron King. If you have a Heisman candidate and you're not in the top 25, come on, bro. Come on. I think they should put some respect on us. And obviously, top 10, we're not sniffing that. Got it. The list, you can move some people around. I do believe Ohio State's probably number one. It's kind of, I mean, LSU, they just won that championship. They're not even in the top 10. Like, damn.
Yeah, for me, that was the one glaring thing, was LSU not being top 10.
But then again, they lost Joe Burrow and Joe Brady. They lost a lot.
Yeah,
they lost a lot, yeah. Because that offense, and I will again, that was arguably the greatest offense I've ever seen in my life, man.
Yeah.
That shit was, I'm like, dude, there's no one stopping it, and then no one did.
Yo, but they still, if you think about LSU, they still got the best, to me, the best receiver I've seen in the country last year. It wasn't Judy, it wasn't CeeDee Lamb. It was Jamar Chase. Was it Jamar Chase for LSU?
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was Jamar
Chase. He was torching AJ Terrell in the championship game. He's probably, I think he won Biletnikoff too. So he's the best receiver in the country. They got Terrence Marshall, another really good receiver.
Did it?
And they got talent.
Was it Randy Moss' son? Wasn't he? He wasn't a senior, was he?
I think he went pro. I think he declared.
Oh, okay. He could have been senior. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, that's kind of disrespectful. But then again, you lose a lot. They should still be top 25. But when I saw them, I'm like, they're not top 10. But I'm like, they lost so much, dude. I don't disagree with them not being top 10. I don't disagree.
What team out of the top 10 do you think should not be there?
I'm gonna say Texas A&M because they're in there, right?
Yeah, they're in there.
It's Texas A&M. I don't know who they've beaten to get this top 10 ranking. I understand Jimbo, and Texas, they have been. I mean, they look okay, but they just look average, above average. Their biggest thing to me since Jimbo's been there is almost beating Clemson. That's their biggest win, is a loss to Clemson.
Yeah.
Because they're losing Joe Burrows. They're losing a lot of guys.
I mean, yeah, I agree. I agree. I mean, I agree. Yes, but I think out of respect. The next topic was a topic I pulled up, or I wanted to talk about. And it's what's going on in China, as far as discrimination towards Africans.
Oh, yeah. Man, look, so I want to start off by saying that people do need to realize the difference between Chinese Americans, because they've been catching slack for no reason, and they're different from people from actually like Chinese people. So Chinese Americans are still Americans. They should not be catching any slack. They shouldn't be catching any racial nonsense. Now, Chinese people, they have been catching L after L after L. They start off by saying, oh, you know, we're trying to make this vaccine before America, because if America makes it, then they're going to try to patent it and sell it for thousands of dollars. So we're trying to beat America. And they had all the support. It was like, yeah, until it comes out. It was like, well, one, that's not true. Two, you lied about it. And now three, you want to talk about civil like rights for people and stuff. Like, hey, the way they're treating Africans, rumor has it was, before a lot of people knew, they thought it was a foreign-born virus, and they for some reason was like, Africans are bringing this virus here. And then they were just treating them like shit, right? Kicking them out, they're not letting them ride public transportation, making them sleep on the streets. But now, look at this. The world is noticing. The world is noticing how the Chinese people are treating Africans.
Let me read this out.
Because I'm sure these Africans just went to work.
It said China is denying Africans access to their houses and hotels in the country, claiming that they are doing this to curb the spread of coronavirus. So many Africans have been rendered homeless on the streets of China because of this. And there's also videos of McDonald's that has a sign saying no Africans allowed. I think it's more on the government, the Chinese government, more than anything else, you know?
I mean, I'm not surprised, dude. Honestly, I mean, you get people that get Africans especially been getting discriminated no matter where they go, man. And a lot of times, like, so the Africans there, I'm pretty sure they're there for work.
Yeah, probably so, right? Yeah.
Like any other person that goes to another country, it's usually just to go there for work. And they're getting discriminated against. They get discriminated in America and China. And it's like, I've been to China and I didn't have any discrimination, thankfully. I just had people, you know, taking pictures with me, trying to touch my skin, kind of weird, stuff like that. But I had nothing like that was like discriminatory, at least that I realized. And I believe China would like to keep it that way. But it's like, hey, man, you doing this? They need to fix that.
I mean, hard time on Twitter with your being Haitian.
There was like one guy, but you know me, like I don't take anything serious on Twitter. I troll, joke. I go to Twitter to have a good time, man.
And this,
you know, so and I love talking and shit.
I wanted to tie this into the whole thing with the NBA. You remember in the beginning of the season there was a controversy. The Rockets GM Daryl Morey, he tweeted out support,
saying he's still in Hong Kong.
Yeah. You know, and then LeBron came out condemning, you know, what Morey did or Morey's tweet or whatnot. And
I thought he just said we had to stay out of it because that wasn't our. Ooh, yeah, but exactly. Now do we stay out of it? Because
I think right now is because of the pandemic. There's only so much you can do. There's only so much you can say. But yeah. I feel like a lot of people didn't want to speak up against China, especially athletes, because you know a lot of their money is
of course.
A lot of their money is tied to Nike.
Exactly.
Lamar's money is he has exactly. $1 billion contract with Nike. Rumor is, you know, a lifetime $1 billion contract.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't want to mess up those relationships. But he's
and that could
you know,
be
any,
it too,
any, he kind of portrays himself as like, as all for civil rights and stuff, you know? You know, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
That's his image. A lot of people think that he wants to be the next Muhammad Ali. You know, that's his goal.
I mean, LeBron does. He does do a lot for civil rights. So we'll see. I haven't seen them address this yet. I just feel like a lot of people are waiting for more information because you have stuff that rumors will come out. I'm already like, yo, China, you need to tighten the fuck up. We need to get that shit figured out because y'all the ones that did this and y'all persecuting Africans. Yes. We'll see, man. I'm hoping something good comes out of this and I'm hoping they tighten the fuck up and I'm hoping that we start to give them enough flack because they just been taking L after L after this fucking virus came out.
Well,
we'll see, man.
Let's go ahead to the next topic. NFL draft talk, okay? Who's your team? Who's your NFL team? And who do you want them to draft in the first round? Let me start this off. I really don't have a team. Like, there's not one team I really root for. I live in North Carolina, so I like the Panthers. You know, I would like them to do well. I like to see them do well. They got the 7th pick in the draft. I think most people are saying Derek Brown from Auburn. He's a beast. He's a beast, but I wouldn't take a D tackle that high unless you're getting Aaron Donald, like a crazy impact D tackle, I wouldn't take a D tackle that high.
Yeah.
I would pick Judy. I would stack up that offense. You know, they already got good receivers. They have McCaffrey.
And they signed Teddy Bridgewater, right?
You throw Judy in with McCaffrey. You already got good receivers. Their O-line is not a bad O-line. With Teddy, I mean, and with Joe Brady, the offense could be crazy with another receiver. That's who I would pick.
Oh, that is true.
And McCaffrey just got a big deal. He just got the biggest deal.
Yep. Saw that. Highest paid running back.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him, man. He's a really good running back. I will say, go ahead, Jack. Actually, you go ahead, and then I'll finish off of mine.
Yeah, who's your team? Who's your NFL team?
All right, so
who's your team, and who do you want to draft?
Once Peyton Manning left, I kind of fell away from the team, and I started to like the Dolphins, and now I'm like a diehard Dolphins fan, and I really want Tua, but there's all these other teams that want Tua, and if we don't get Tua, we're going to have to get an offensive player if we don't get him.
Okay. So, me, you already know, Miami everything, all day, every day. Dolphins guy, we got three picks. This is what I want to happen. Okay. It's kind of crazy. I want us to go ahead and I want us to get Tua with our first pick. If we do not get Tua, I want Jerry Jeudy. I want another wide receiver to pair out there with Devontae Parker. But here's what I'm thinking. It's kind of crazy. If we can't, like, trade up and get Chase Young, because I want also Chase Young. I'm looking at the Texans, man, and I'm like, hey, you guys are really fucking stupid right now. What do we got to give you to get Deshaun Watson? I haven't heard him wanting that, but I'm hearing it's like if you keep giving away all the fucking best players, then yeah, dude, I want out, because you're gonna waste this man's career. So, that's what I kind of want to happen on draft day. If we can't get Tua and Jerry Jeudy, or get Chase Young, who they say is the number one player in this draft, try to put together a package deal, because the Texans they're going for everything right now. So I'm like, dude, if we can get Deshaun Watson, a lot of people have been talking about that. But I'm like, dude, we got three picks to play around with.
Would you trade all three? Would you trade all three package, first round picks for
hell no? Show?
No,
I would.
That's ridiculous. I would give up two.
All three. I'd give up my second round pick. I'd give up everybody for Deshaun Watson.
Nah, man, because if we get Tua and Tua stays healthy, I believe in Tua. I'm optimistic right now, and I mean, look, I'm a Tua guy, man. We didn't necessarily tank for Tua, but he's not gonna. We don't have to worry about him starting next year, anyways. Yeah. Ryan Fitzpatrick is coming back. I'm not saying he's going to take us to the promised land, but that gives Tua a year to learn the offense, a year to make sure he's 100% ready to go. And if Ryan does get hurt,
I'm a Tua guy too, but I think Watson. I think he's the second best young quarterback in the league. I'm not saying he's second best quarterback, but young like quarterback. I think it's Mahomes and then Watson. He's him and Mahomes to me are the future of the NFL. You know, they're good.
Definitely. I definitely think Deshaun is. I mean, I've been high on him since he was in damn like high school. But also, if we can't do that, I don't know, man. Wait, if we can't get Trevor, we can't get Deshaun. I'm gonna say wait till next year and try to get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I think.
Give me one of those three guys.
The NFL draft, and I watch PFF a lot. You just want to get high impact guys, you know, like I said with Carolina, you don't want to draft a D tackle at freaking number 7, because D tackles.
D tackles
generally don't make that big of an impact unless they're really special, you know.
But I mean, that can go for almost any position, no, right? Like a cornerback, like having like the number one corner, like you can have, because honestly, like a corner is one of the toughest positions to play. You can have two like solid cornerbacks. You don't need like Darrell Revis in his prime, because I mean Darrell Revis in his prime, he's not going to take it to Super Bowl by himself.
The way they break it down, okay, right. the most important position we all agree is quarterback. Okay, after that, it's a toss up between D end and cornerback.
I'll go with left tackle.
You know, left tackle, D end, cornerback. Those are the next three most important positions. And then after that, you know, maybe like free safety. You know, strong safeties generally aren't, you know, high impact players, you know, but a free safety can be a very high impact player. Off ball linebackers are typically not very high impact players, you know, unless you're getting a Ray Lewis, you know.
Yeah, if I give me a rangy, solid, free athletic linebacker, definitely. Yeah, if it's to me, if it's a position in need, glaring, and you have one of the best players in college football at that position,
like,
oh, dude,
you know how they say running backs aren't, you know, high impact positions. Like, it goes to a few years.
Yeah, as the game's evolving,
for the Giants, should you have taken Saquon Barkley? You know, at number two.
Saquon is a, to me, he was a can't miss, and he's proven that he is a can't miss right now. He's already, you could argue he's a top 10 running back.
I mean, he's
already
an animal. He might, I think he's top 5 running back, you know, but I would have gone with Sam Darnold at number 2, you know?
Hell no.
Shit, not me. I haven't been sold on USC quarterbacks in a long time.
So. Yeah, we'll see though. Hurricane updates. Zoe, like, I haven't seen much. Hey, what have you been seeing as far as with Hurricane?
I haven't seen much either, man. I know we sent out some offers, but that's it, dude. That's it. I've been seeing. I mean, obviously our boards are still working. Wide receivers are working on IG live. You don't have to prove anything, but they're proving it. As far as updates, thank God so far no injuries.
Yeah.
That I'm tracking. Nothing crazy, man. Our boys have been healthy. No one's gotten any corona, knock on wood. Because I know our Florida State player hadn't recovered. You know, so big ups to him, man. That's it, man. I guess no news right now.
The topic we'll talk about is actually a former Hurricane. Jaren Williams has... I haven't seen him in a while. I haven't seen anything from him in a while. It seems like he's come out of hibernation.
He posted a little highlight video. Again, I think he's a good quarterback, man. I still think he's NFL quarterback. I still believe he's got that talent, man, but just unfortunately didn't fit. And he doesn't have, not that I know, if he doesn't have any schools coming after him. I don't know if he's staying in Miami or what.
We're going to talk about transfer destinations. Like, where do you think he would be a good fit?
I've been saying this for a while. I'm still sticking with it, man. I think a school like Houston, because they just lost their quarterback. I believe he can go to Houston and do
who's,
very,
who's
very
the coach
good.
Of Houston now?
I promise you. I forget his name.
Dana
Holgorsen. That's the coach of Houston right now? I got to double check,
yeah,
man.
But you said Houston would be a good fit? Yeah, I mean, I think
I think so. They just lost the quarterback.
Jaren is very skillful, very accurate. He's very few quarterbacks are as accurate as him. But I think the mental part he needs to work on, you know?
And I think just a new school would do it for him, man. Houston to Kentucky or something like that. I think a new school would do it for him. I know he wanted to go to Kentucky originally. I don't think that's a good fit for him. I believe Houston's the best. So how about you, man? You see any schools that you could think of? This is a school for him.
I think the best possible school he could go to is maybe like a Lane Kiffin, like Ole Miss, a school like that.
Oh shit! Or even Mississippi State
He'd be very good, but you know, with Ole Miss, they have Plumlee. Do you know who Plumlee is? Have you ever seen Plumlee play? He's like,
I don't think so.
Because we recruited him, Miami recruited. We're just trying to recruit him a little bit towards the end. He's a quarterback. He's a white guy, but apparently he runs like a 4.2. And he ran for like 200 and something yards against LSU as a true freshman last year. They have him, and they have Matt Corral, who was a five-star. So, Miss is kind of stacked at quarterback. But I think, you know, a Leach or a Kiffin would fit him very
definitely.
Well, you know.
Well, Leach, man. Well, honestly, even in Michigan State. More power to the kid, man. If he stays in Miami again, you stay in Miami, I'll support him. If he leaves, you know, more power.
I think that ship has sailed. I don't think.
I don't know. I think he's still in Miami, so we'll see.
Okay. We got guests. Zoe, you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah, man. So first one, you know, be a 3-star recruit out of Lompoc High School out here in California, man. Our boy DeVille, Joker Dickerson, he'll be coming on. Great kid, super smart. Second guest, we know him on Twitter, is Northfresh Kane. Super cool guy, man, super awesome. I know Kane, so I know him because he's very opinionated. He's always talking his shit, man. Great guy, though. Great guy, my boy.
All right, let's get to our guest.
We got my guy Saeed and we got our guy Zach on here, man. Welcome to the show, man.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
All right, so we just want to start off, man. Can you just tell us about yourself a little bit? Like position you play, maybe schools you're looking at, offers you want, stuff like that.
My only offer that I have right now is from William & Mary. My name is DeVille Denham Dickerson. I was born and raised in Vegas. I'm currently in Lompoc, California right now, living it up. This weather's nice, you know, couldn't wish for anything. Just came from Washington, you know, it's bad out there, so my prayers go out to Washington and all the families and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Doing well. And, yeah, some offers I'd like to get are some just more like I'd like to work my way up. I don't want to start too big. Like, I want to work my way gradually up the scale. Maybe I don't know, next offer is like from Utah and then go work my way gradually up to like Big Ten.
So do you have a preference on region? Would you rather stay West Coast? Do you rather go like Big Ten area, you know, SEC country?
I don't think I really have a preference because how big the opportunity is. People are always talking about like some of the big time athletes, how region really matters, but then end of the day, it's like that's such a big opportunity to do something that you love and that you're so passionate about. So you shouldn't really have to worry about like region and stuff. You should worry about how passionate you are about the sport.
I like that answer, man. That's very awesome. So with our show here, man, it's a heavy, heavy Florida Miami fan base, and I know a lot of guys in Miami don't know too much about West Coast football, and I know California is huge, man. There's a lot of talent out here. There's a lot of talent in Washington. How would you describe the level of competition in California versus the level of competition you played everywhere else?
Just the regions, like everywhere there's players, there's ballers everywhere. You go around the corner, you go on the block, go on the street. If you like send out a text message via Snap, any social media platform, you will get someone that wants to work. Like there's no one's shy out. Trying away from competition at all. You could drive down an hour, you could drive down 10 minutes to another school, and someone's going to want to outwork you for something because they want something better than you.
Okay, especially so here's a question for you, and you can brag on yourself a little if you want to. Again, a heavy South Florida fan base. Now, how would you respond to people that say a 3-star in Florida is a 5-star in the other state? Because that is a huge saying. In Florida, especially in Florida, a 3-star in Florida is a 5-star in the other state. How do you respond to that? How do you feel about that?
I played against 3-stars in Florida, and they're too hot. Like I played against 5-stars in Florida too. We flew down for a couple of games, and like if you're that big of a hot shot and you're a 3-star. Like, come on now, you gotta prove something. You gotta prove all that. Like, come on,
I love it.
Hey, DeVille, is there a speed difference? Is there a noticeable speed difference you've seen?
Speed difference? I don't know. I feel like I would say kinda more or less.
Okay.
Their side of the table. There's a big of a. Out here, we work more on technique. We're not really big on speed, but speed comes here naturally.
Okay, okay. I respect that.
Like, you only find...
Who's your school growing up, DeVille? Like, what school did you root for? What players did you root for growing up?
I was a Duck. I was a big Marcus Mariota fan growing up.
So is that like your dream offer?
Now that I've grown up and I've got more mature and got into it, I'm looking like at the schools, like what I want to major in and what I want to get.
What my last question here, and then I know Zach has like two questions for you, and then Saeed might have one. So my question, top five dream schools offers. Like these are like, yo, if these guys offer, like they're definitely on the table. Your top five, little kid to now, I know you're in high school. Who do you got?
I'm going to say my top five, no particular order because of just where I am and where I'm maturing right now. They all have different professions. They all have different options and opportunities. I'm going to say Oregon, Florida, Georgia, Texas, and Cal.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess top six because I didn't hear Miami in that list. I did not hear Miami. This is a podcast. We need to be on every recruits. That's a solid list, though, man. Don't want a Gator from an offer from the Gators. We don't. It's anti-Gator podcast.
Anti-Gator podcast.
All right, go ahead. I know Saeed has some questions, man. Go ahead.
Yeah. What do you think is your greatest strength as a player?
My greatest strength is probably work ethic, like, and the ability to take coaching. Like, I take coaching very seriously. Like, if someone tells me to do something, I will, like, go home, I'll study that, I'll watch videos on it, how to get better on it. And my work ethic's like, I know I need to get better than this person, so I'll do everything in my power to get better than that person. If I make my own gym, go on a run 2 miles a day, I'll do everything in my power to get better than that one person.
And my last question is, Who's the best player you face?
I have thus far. In a one-on-one, like every time I want one-on-ones, just a team that I've gone
anything
against.
Any setting in practice, any setting.
I'm gonna go with one-on-one, and I'm gonna have to go say G Scott Jr. We were playing against each other. We were at practice, and Coach Tracy wanted to see us go at it because I was having a really good day that day. And my man's ripped my whole arm sleeve off when I was pressing it.
Oh, man.
Zach. Yeah. Zach, you got one more question?
Yes.
Or two questions?
Yeah, I got two questions. At what age did you start playing football? And who was your favorite football player growing up and why?
My favorite football player growing up was DeSean Jackson. He just had it all. He was cocky. He didn't let anything get to him. Like, he knew what his worth was. He knew what his self-value was at all times. Like, he never let anything bring him down. He knew he was the best receiver back in the day. Like, he was a great player. And I started playing football when I was around 7, 8. And I just kept going from there. I never really stopped. I remember watching my brother when I was like 6 and 5, like messing around with him at practice. And I really took it serious. I thought, okay, I actually want to play this sport. It looks like fun. And then I got around to it. And I originally was on the offensive side of ball, but then the defense was more fun.
Okay. All right. So if you now, when you go to college, you want to be a DB?
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Okay. That's solid, man. Hey. I appreciate you coming on, man. You're our second recruit. You're our first West Coast recruit that came on the show, man. So I do appreciate you, man. I'm rooting for you. Again, I do say, just throw Miami in a dream school situation. You know?
Top 10.
At least top 10, man. All right, brother. Appreciate you coming on, man.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
No, appreciate it.
I appreciate it. See you guys later.
All right. I appreciate you coming on, man. You know we gotta have Kane Spam. And you like my boy that I've never met, but is like one of my closest friends on Twitter.
I feel you, bro. I feel you. Same thing. Yep.
So you're in Alaska, right?
Yep, I'm in Ketchikan, Alaska.
So how did you become a Kane Spam in Alaska?
I was born and raised in Seattle, and I got an older brother. He's 8 years older than me. And he was a Canes nut even when he was young. So I mean, I just kind of, you can, even in my first grade picture, I'm wearing Canes gear. So I mean, I've been on it, dude, my entire life, as far as I know, bro. He instilled that in me from like day one.
That sounds like a good brother right there. The good brother, man. And you know, it means something because we have been shit for recently, right? And you still stuck by there. They used to, I'm still a Cane. Where it's easy for you to just like go to like, you know, Oregon or something. They're hot right now, right? But you're, you know what? I'm a Cane. I respect that, bro. Respect that 100%.
I have no reason to bail. The thing that's weird with us is like, you know, I mean, last year was bad. Don't get me wrong. Last year was bad. But it's like we've been mediocre as hell, bro. I mean, flat out mediocre. And that's almost like worse than being good and bad, good and bad. We've been stuck at dumb for hella long now.
That's true. But was it 2018? Was that the year?
It was a little come up.
The 17? You know? Well, we got the number two in the country.
We had a taste of it. We know what it's like. We know we have the talent. We haven't had the coaching and the development to make it last.
Man, hey, that was some good times. I tell you, I remember we got the number two in the country, man. I was out there walking my dogs, and this one I lived in Destin, North Florida, and I had my Miami Hurricane hoodie on, and I had literally people honking at me down the street. Like, I had never seen so much Canes in North Florida. I was like, oh, my God. It feels so good. Dude, we got our ass beat by Pitt. I had been by Wisconsin. I'm like, God damn. Then,
bro, Wisconsin destroyed us that bowl game. That was brutal.
Dude, my wife's a Badger, bro. How do you think I and our whole family?
Wow, so, that stinks.
Yeah, and I had to watch both times with them, bro. How do you think I feel?
That stings, bro. That stings.
Woo, bro! I want to fight everybody, man. Cause they love to talk shit just like I do, so they were rubbing it in. I just got drunk and called it a night, man. It was good. They're good people, though, man. They're good people.
It's all you can do, bro. I mean, we especially that. What was it? The first game where they beat us real bad?
Yeah, because the first one we were up by like a couple scores, and then they came back and won.
Yeah,
and then the second one, the pinstripe bowl, I believe it was in New York. That's when it was just like we didn't even show up to play.
No,
it wasn't even like a good game to watch. They were just flat.
Bro, I don't even think I actually, that's one of the few games that I don't think I actually ended up watching the end of it, dude. Like I was disgusted.
The first one I didn't watch the end of, I could really, really remember was, well, in recent times anyways, was the Clemson 58-0.
Oh,
when I got off of work. Like, I was working a mid shift, right? And I usually, if it's a you know Saturdays, I'll try to take a quick nap and then wake up for the game, so I'll make sure I miss it. And so I set my alarms, and it went off. I was like, "Oh shit, I overslept." I checked the score, and it was like 35-0. And I fuck this, and I went back to sleep. And I woke up to see the final score. I was like, "Bro, I am so glad because I'd have been so heated." Had I watched the whole game.
That's how far ahead Clemson is compared to us. I mean, even right now, I mean, we win the offseason. Like last year, bro, we had a killer offseason, we thought. We got these dope transfers. We got the recruits coming in, the true freshmen. We're going to start getting a chance to play. Same thing this offseason with new coaches, a bunch of hype with De'Ara King and all that. We win the offseason. We just do nothing in the regular season. I think we're still that far behind Clemson.
I don't agree. But I'm going to let Saeed go ahead. Go ahead. You might have something to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think Clemson is not as good as they've been, but they're still really good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're as stacked, you know, because they're losing. They've lost a lot of, like, high draft picks. You can get all the five stars you want, but – five stars don't really mean nothing, you know. You don't know how a player will develop. So I think their talent level is decreasing just a little bit.
Well, I think they reloaded. Well, and I would say it's experience, right? Because this recruiting class they just had the Infinity Gauntlet, the Avengers. They're going to be a problem for us. I'm not gonna lie.
They should be.
They will be. Come on, bro. Let's.
That depth. I mean, that depth is, even though it might be a little young in places. I mean, we're talking about them bringing in not just the number one defensive ends and the number ones and threes and four defensive linemen. I mean, it's just that over and over again. It's over and over and over.
Country. He was actually on QB1. If you guys watched that show, he was the backup to this kid. I forget his name. It's a black kid.
He was the backup to
Iowa State. He was Iowa State.
I think it was JT Daniels.
No. The kid I'm talking about, he went to Iowa State. He was a light-skinned kid from San Diego. And DJ was he was his backup, and then like the guy like kind of got hurt a little bit, and then DJ came in and he was just balling, and I was like, good as fuck, right? And I was like, and he's like 6'5", you know, Samoan kid or whatever. And then when the guy gets healthy, like DJ didn't give that spot up, and then they went on like this undefeated run or whatever. And then he's now clearly the number one quarterback. And I wasn't even tracking. I thought he was going to USC or something. And fucking Dabo came through and got this kid. I'm like, shit, man.
I mean, but here's the thing about that. He may look good in high school. Damn, Tate looked good in high school.
Like, have you seen what Dabo said this last week about DJ?
No.
No, what did he say?
He said that he makes Trevor Lawrence look kind of normal.
I mean, I understand, but I gotta see it, man. Oh, yeah. You know, yeah. I gotta see it, you know? I gotta see it. Like, you remember Kyle Wright?
Yeah.
Number one quarterback in the nation. Oh, yeah. You know, it happens.
It does. But
and it happens with quarterbacks.
But does Dabo bullshit, though? Does he really bullshit us, though?
No, he doesn't.
Recently, him and Oklahoma have been putting out. If they say they got a good quarterback, like at this point in time, the nation believes it.
Mm-hmm.
If Uncle Riley and Dabo Sweeney say I have a good quarterback, because remember when they had Kelly Bryant, he was like, "Yeah, he's good," but he was like, "But Trevor is that guy," and replaced him.
And they stuck with Trevor at a young age. Yeah.
Yeah, because Dabo, he will not bullshit us.
Makes me think that DJ kid's got some heat.
He's got the intangibles. I mean, he's a big dude. He can throw it, and he's smart.
Like, he's got to be smart. Yeah, Dabo wouldn't mess with him if he wasn't.
He reminds me of Cam Newton. It's who he reminds me of, like the build.
Oh, man.
That's a problem.
Hey, I'm telling you right now.
I got to watch his highlights.
Watch it. He's like 6'5". It's like the Samoan kid. He reminds me of Cam Newton.
I see.
That's a national title winner, bro. You know, that's a national title winner.
But Cam is like, you know, running a 4.6. Jack. There will be no Cam Newton slander.
Rumors of him going to the Patriots, though. That would be a problem if he makes it there.
I hear the Chargers.
I think Belichick is going to try to do something. Belichick's not going to sit back and just let shit slide. He's going to pull a stunt. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's going to pull a stunt.
Yeah,
I 100% agree. 100%.
Fuck around and get Tua, I'll be so pissed.
Wow.
I think what I thought is that he'll mess around and get Matt Stafford from Detroit.
That would be
that's what I thought earlier.
That would be good.
Imagine Stafford with the Patriots, you know, but it could be anyone, but I agree with you. He's got something up
there. He's just been quiet, but you know he's evil. Yeah.
Jarrett Stidham is not going to be starting at quarterback next year for that team, I promise.
No, not at all. I don't think he's not the future. That's not who they're going to build a program around. But it's the Patriots. Again, they made Jacoby Brissett look good. They made Matt Castle look good. They made Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they're not bad quarterbacks, but that system, you get in there and you're gonna look like a really good quarterback.
I could see them if things, you know, if they can't get their way in the draft and things start taking their time and stuff, I could see them being a team that could make a late offer for someone like Andy Dalton.
Yeah, I mean, because Joe Burrow is going to the Bengals. That's pretty much set in stone.
Yeah, I mean, Dalton, dude, don't get me wrong. Dalton is not some lifesaver, but you know what, dude? If you look at his stats, he's got a career winning record, and that's more to be said than a lot of guys sitting around available.
That's true. Oh, I do want to take a second, man. Give it a little RIP, man. Tavares Jackson, he just passed today.
Yeah.
Today was the last night in a car accident.
Yeah, that's my former Seahawks QB there, man.
Yeah, I know, man. That sucks. He's like, what, 36?
Yeah, too young, bro. Way too young.
Yeah, way too young, man. So I just want to send our condolences, man. I enjoyed watching him play, man.
He was a gamer.
Like, yeah, life is short, man.
It is, man.
We're blessed. I just had to get that out there, man. Yeah, for sure. Especially with everything going on right now, man.
I know.
Just want to get that out there. Couldn't let it go without, you know, passing our condolences to a baller, man. So I would say, go ahead, man. I know you might have some questions, and then Zach is on the line. He might have some for you as well.
And this is my last question. Getting back to the Hurricanes, the over under for Vegas just came out for, I guess, one of the sports books. They had, I think, Clemson at 11.5. Okay, Miami was second most in the ACC at 9. Do you think that we'll go over or under 9 wins?
With the schedule that we've got, there's no excuse to 9 has to be the minimum, in my opinion, right now, especially even for Diaz to save his job with all the money being spent on the offense and everything like that. No excuse for anything less than 9 with this schedule. No excuse. I'd really, really, really like to see us get that double digit, get that 10th win. There's just something about that double digit status there that just – we can use that in recruiting like no other. I mean, we've seen what short-term hype can do for our recruiting classes, and it just sends it through the roof. The 2021 class is already strong. We got to secure that class. We got to find a way to win. I think 9 is got to be the minimum. It has to.
So let's say we don't get 9. Do you think that's Manny's ass?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I don't think these boosters I don't think are going to sit back with everything going on and the way college the I don't know, you want to call it the atmosphere of college football with what we've seen LSU can do, where you make that immediate change and that immediate move and you show that the talent you already had was national talent caliber with the right moves. We have talent. I'm not sitting here saying we are a national caliber team yet, but we have talent. We need to make those right moves. I'm not sure how long the boosters are willing to sit back and let things just go bad. Look at our schedule. There's just no excuse. That means that if we only win 8 games, we've lost some really bad games then.
Do you think the coronavirus, you know, could be a built-in excuse with, you know, not having a true offseason?
Well, that's true.
With implementing a new offensive system.
Yeah.
That offseason is very crucial, you know.
We
got a week's worth of practice. Well, some teams didn't get any.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So
it's a completely new system. Completely, not even. It's supposed to not even be. It's not be close to what we've been.
It's a lot closer though, from what I understand. I mean, even though of course high school offenses aren't nearly as intricate. But as far as the scheme, as far as spreading guys out, getting them in space, getting playmakers in space, there should be a better natural transition from high school to Lashley's scheme than there was from high school to Enos's.
Yeah, so, but the issue with that, and just as a little sidebar, is Enos's scheme is more tailored to the NFL, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kids, they're going to have to get that down regardless. Now, again, I'm back on Lashley. I'm hype on it. I do believe making it easier, simplifying it, it should translate to more explosive. Dude, again, I am 1,000% on board with De'Eriq King, bro. Just seeing what he did when his 50 touchdown season. And then even last year, people pointing out this 1-3 record. But again, what I tell every single person, you look at those losses, right? To ranked Washington State, I believe it was, to ranked Oklahoma, right? If Miami played back, like ranked Oklahoma and ranked Washington State, shit, even unranked, I don't think we do what De'Eriq King had Houston doing. And I believe we have way more talent than Houston. but he made it at least somewhat respectable.
Yeah. And do you know who Houston's defensive coordinator was?
No, I do. You know? DeFizio was still gone, wasn't he? He's gone. I thought he was fired.
No. I think he was still the D coordinator, right?
I thought he was. Oh, yeah. God damn, dude, this guy. Is he still coaching? Hey, Zach, do you have any questions for our boy North, Brian?
So, not having a true offseason, how will that affect Lashley's offense going into the regular season?
I think what we'll see, especially with the soft out of conference schedule, I mean, we're playing, we got a team on the schedule that's Wagner, that was 1-11 last year, that I'm pretty sure IMG Academy could run off the field. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we're talking about playing some really, Temple isn't bad. Don't get me wrong. UAB isn't bad, but we're going to have these moments here where our talent should overwhelm it. But I expect to see kind of a little more simplicity to start things off. I expect to see a buildup. Basically, by the time we get to that Michigan State game, we really start to see the Lashley offense a little bit more in its full effect.
I think that's where Jimmy Murphy came from, was Wagner, I believe.
Might be. Yeah, might be. He might have been the superstar of Wagner.
Because I remember he was playing there. This is one of his interviews, how he was trying to get to the U, but he did play, I believe it was Wagner.
Where is Wagner?
I think it's like in Pennsylvania or something like that.
Is it in Pennsylvania?
I'm not sure.
I just know they were 1-11 last year against a schedule that, I mean, is you know, pretty damn soft. So, I mean.
But look at this, though. I'm going to start this by saying this is an entirely new team and everything. But then remember last year, Central Michigan, they got blown out like 60-0 to Wisconsin. And we were in a dogfight with Central Michigan. Mm-hmm. So until this team can show me that they are, and I know it is a different team, but unless you can actually go out there and show me, I'm sorry, and I am so embarrassed to say it has come to this, but I am not looking past any opponent. I don't care if you didn't win a game in the past 4 years. I am not looking past any opponent on our schedule. FIU, Louisiana Tech, and Central Michigan last year, we should have beat them 177-0.
Yeah, I agree.
Combined.
I agree.
But golly. So realistically speaking, again, I'm sure Vegas will have us winning against Wagner, against Temple, against, I mean, Michigan State. I mean, they're Big Ten. They're a good team. We should beat them.
Yeah.
Again, but I'm not going to look past anybody, man.
No.
I'm not going to go to every game. I'm not going to go to the Wagner game, but I'm not going to look past
them. No, I was surprised by that nine, that number nine.
That nine?
You're surprised.
That nine is only there. Yeah, the nine is only there because we have King. That if we didn't have King, that nine wouldn't be there.
It would probably would have been like a seven.
Probably.
And a half.
Yeah, oh yeah, after last year. Yeah, but again, if Rhett Lashley can do, and I do believe we can duplicate what SMU did.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Just that De'Aaron King talent is. When Lincoln Riley says there's not one, there's not three quarterbacks better than him or something like that. There's not five quarterbacks better than him.
Yeah, that's
again.
That's big.
Yeah. Lincoln Riley doesn't he doesn't bullshit us. At least from what we've seen, he doesn't. And
he wanted King, right?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he was trying to get him or not, because when they played him, yeah, King. I mean, he wasn't considering transferring yet.
There was early rumors that Oklahoma was an option early on, but the rumors kind of died down as the process went on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because they got Spencer Rattler,
exactly.
Man, and that guy.
Exactly.
He was also on QB1. You guys need to watch that show, man.
Rattler's no joke.
You guys should watch it.
Rattler's no joke. Rattler is no joke.
Rattler.
Dude, I saw a list today. He's like, they have him in the top 25 quarterbacks, and he's only completed 11 passes. And I was like, come on, guys. I think they had him ranked higher than De'Aaron King. I was like, come on, guys.
That's
come
crazy,
on, come
man.
On now. That's just disrespectful.
Crazy.
ESPN, they released their top 25 quarterbacks, and De'Aaron King was like, I don't know, 14, and then Spencer Rattler was like 10 or something like that.
The one thing about
– I was like, okay.
De'Aaron King was 14?
Yeah, he was in the top 25. They had him like at 14.
That's crazy.
They had him above Kyle Trask from Florida. But he was behind, like, of course, Sam Howell, Trevor Lawrence, What's that guy from Ohio State? Justin Fields. Fields, yeah. And he was behind a couple other quarterbacks. The guy from Arizona State. Yeah. JT down. Yeah. And then Minnesota's quarterback, I believe it was. I'm not sure.
Probably Purdy from Iowa State.
I got to double check, but yeah, he was in the top 25, but he was like I think 14 or something like that. Hey, oh shit, we done stop. Hey, Zach, go ahead and ask the other question, man. My bad. So
with Mark Pope last year, I mean he balled out. Don't get me wrong, but I want to see what he can do full blast this year. How do you think his actions will go on the field this year? Do you think he's going to be a full Heisman candidate, or do you think he's going to be an actual star?
Everything that I've heard so far is Lashley and the new wide receiver coach from the guy from Arizona State we got have praised.
Yeah, the Rod Likens. Yeah.
Which is great having him being a former OC and giving him a wide receiver spot. That was brilliant. But anyways, they're talking about his route running. I mean, it's just about as crisp as it possibly can get. That was something I heard of him coming out of high school. And it was something I really hadn't fully seen quite yet. But my guess is with better offensive coordinator, better coaching, all of those things can blossom. I'm not quite sure if he's going to be a Heisman candidate, but I think this is the year you see Pope take the next step, the step we've all been waiting to see.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to have a Heisman wide receiver probably in ever. But, well, you know, time soon. Is he a Blintikoff finalist? How about that?
Let's let
North Vegas a pin out. Is he a Blintikoff? Finalist. Is he a Blintikoff finalist this year? This game? This quarterback?
No, I don't think so. Not this year. Not this year. No.
Do you think he has the potential?
I think with it to be. Yeah, his route running, his quickness, his short burst quickness, all that kind of stuff. I think he's got the ability to run multiple routes with success. So, yeah, he's got that upside. We just got to have the quarterback play and the system and the development.
I will say this, North. Remember, I said this, Saeed. Remember, I said this, Zach. Yeah. Remember, I said West Coast in the building is saying it right now. Mark Pope will be at least a semifinalist for the Blintikoff Award this year.
That'd be great.
This year. Write it down. I said it. This year.
That'd be great, man.
Telling you right now. And look, because we're putting that ball out. You're going to have D. Wiggins. You're going to have Mike Harley. We're going to have our receivers. But again, I just believe – but you already know Mark Pope guy. Man, he's got to – this is a money year, man. He's got to prove it. And I'm putting my name down. Shit. If I was rich, I would put some money down and say at least he makes. I'm not going to say he's going to win the Blintikoff, obviously, but at least a semifinalist, man. I think he could be there.
I hope so.
I think by a certain point in the season, more towards the end of the season, I'm not saying this is going to happen. I just think he could be passed up on the depth chart.
No.
By some of the freshmen.
Who
Jeremiah Payton?
I think Payton's going to start anyway.
You think Payton could take that number one role this year, though?
I think he is who I would want to be the number one receiver physically. You know, he has everything you would want. You know. But I think some of the other freshmen, some of the true freshmen could potentially pass up Pope.
Wow.
Pope has to come to play. Man.
They're not going to pass up Mark. They're not going to pass up Noodles, bro. And I am biased. No. I'm looking at DBs guarding them. The competition we get to is the first one is going to be Temple, right? And then obviously it's going to be Michigan State. Out of the first four games, Temple is the second toughest and then Michigan State being the toughest. I'm not seeing DB stopping him. I could say he could have. I mean, because you saw flashes last year, right? It's not like we didn't see him, but you saw a flash from D. Wiggins as well. Where I'm pretty sure he had a 100-yard game or like one or two. He had like
I think he had,
I think he had one, right? So you see the flashes.
To me, he's had ample opportunity. He's had a lot of opportunity as a freshman and as a sophomore. He hasn't done much with it.
Mm-hmm. But so he didn't really play as a freshman.
He played towards the end of the year. He was playing a lot. I think he was starting at one point after Jeff Thomas got kicked off the team.
Dude, now I remember. I mean, watching and he just didn't get the ball thrown his way.
Nobody's shining.
He was frustrated because maybe he wanted to transfer. Yeah, he wanted to transfer
because he wasn't getting open.
He was getting open, man.
As a freshman, he was not getting open. It got better as a sophomore, but as a freshman, he was not getting open.
This year right here, I'm telling you, bro. And I see the work he's putting in because he knows it's that money year. He knows it, right?
I understand.
And I haven't seen this level of concentration, dedication, and focus. And it's probably because it is the money year, right? If you go out for 1,000 yards receiving ACC, and you can actually show out against really good competition. He could be a 1,000-yard receiver.
I mean, he could. He has the talent, but if he doesn't come to play, someone like Keyshawn Smith, someone like Restrepo.
I'm not banking on a freshman, man. Can
pass him up.
They're not gonna.
I'm not betting on him, but I think he could be passed up. So let's get you one last question, and then we'll get you off of here. What's your prediction? What's your official prediction?
Just for the success of the season?
Season.
My prediction is I think we get 10 wins this year with this soft schedule. I think this is capable with this new offensive staff and all that stuff. Everything that happened last year, it was a joke. It's over with. This is a completely different setup. Of course, it needs to be proven, but I think we've got the talent to be able to, and good enough coaching on offense now to be able to overcome any other weaknesses we've got at the moment here against this soft schedule.
Who do we lose to? Who are the two teams?
I think we're susceptible to losing to a team like UNC just with their quarterback play. If Hal takes that next step and Mac Brown really does get the troops rallied, we're susceptible. Mm-hmm. The way I feel about it is I'm not sure what one of our other losses will be quite yet. I think we're susceptible to a bad loss every single year. Still, we have to get over that hump. Until we prove that, I don't think it'll happen. So I'm not sure who the bad loss is going to be yet, but somewhere along the lines we'll have a bad loss. And then the other loss, hopefully what I'm hoping it's not. I'm hoping it's not against Michigan State. Let's just say that. I'm hoping it's not against Michigan State. But that's susceptible right there. Even though they got a new coaching staff and all that stuff, that's just those kind of games for us seem to be an issue at the moment still. So until we get over that kind of a hump as well, that I think we're susceptible there as well.
Georgia Tech had a new coach and we lost. They had like one win and we lost.
So. Yeah, and he had nothing but guys set to play in the triple option. Think about that. All those guys were recruited to play in a totally different scheme. They out hustled us, outworked us, and out coached us. So we got to get over that hump until I think we won't have a bad loss or two.
My last thing.
Bubba Baxter.
Oh, Bubba Baxter. Do we lose to Florida State?
No, I think we keep the good times rolling. I think it'll be a close game. Too. I think it'll be closer than people want it to be because that's just the way it goes when people are looking down on them is when they creep up on us. But I think we keep the good times rolling and we get a W there.
Yeah, same. Hey, North, dude, I appreciate you coming on, man. I really do. You my boy. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep it rolling on Twitter, man.
No doubt, bro. Good looking out, man. Thanks for having me on, man. Thanks all you guys, too. Thanks for all the questions and just the whole conversation. It was dope. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. This is the Miami Lifestyle Podcast.
Outro.